Hey everyone, and welcome to the Kodakery. I'm Megan.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Kristen.
We're joined this week by Kristen Texera. Kristen takes her skills as a trained painter to preserve her memories in the form of abstract paintings. She tells us all about how she gets from an experience to a final piece and how color plays a crucial role in the process. So, let's jump into the Kodakery and talk with Kristen. We are here today with Kristen Texera, who is a painter. And much like you and I might remember something by taking a photograph, she remembers it by painting it. And so we're really excited to talk with Kristen about that entire process. So thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So you didn't just start painting memories for fun. You went to school, you went to the Massachusetts College of Art and Design, and you have a BFA in painting, and you're really doing this. So when did you, at what point between then and now did you start painting these memories?
Sure. I think the transition happened when I was in school at Mass Art. I started off painting representationally, so I was doing lots of still life paintings and just like learning the technique of copying what I saw. So we set up lots of portraits, landscapes, and I thought that that was the way to be a professional painter because I'd only really been exposed to like things at museums that were giant portraits of like rich ladies and whatnot. I hadn't really seen much abstraction and had a lot of pressure from my family also to be like, make sure you're going to have a career after you go to school for art, whatever, like whatever that's going to be. So yeah, it took me a little while to accept that I was feeling this pull into abstraction. And while I was sort of like perfecting my skills of rendering what I saw on the side, I was kind of like taking notes on scraps of paper and making little marks of color based on journal entries or what I was writing about each day. And I grew up in a small town, was like pretty stimulated, but I was always like kind of time traveling in the past, looking at old yearbooks and in my library and wishing I was like kind of part of the 60s, 70s crew. And just like trying to be stimulated from other points in time. But then when I moved to college and I was in a city, I had lots more inspiration and lots of different people to look at and stories to collect. And so then I started really being hyped to be in the present and documenting what I saw when I was in a new place and in new spaces. That started channeling me wanting to like really collect what I was interacting with.
As you were in college and after it, what influenced your style to become what it is now? Like your style has evolved to a point where you're not just copying realistically these things. It's more, I guess to describe it, it's a more abstract.
I took a class, an abstract painting class, which like was sort of an accident. and then the teacher who I had, her name's Laurel Sparks, basically took the first two classes just to overwhelm us with lots of different abstract painters that were killing it in history books and in museums. And it was really eye-opening to see that there are different ways of retelling a story, and it's not just like abstraction isn't just like a bunch of colors or marks or whatever. Sometimes there can be, they can be really smart and have lots of layers underneath them, or it can be like I don't know, a math equation, or different symbols can mean different things, and then it's almost more exciting to be able to analyze and dissect an abstraction.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that. I don't know a lot about abstract painting, but I'd never thought to myself, what is somebody trying to say with an abstract painting? And
sure,
it's complex.
Yeah, and I mean, sometimes it's like just an expression and it's like very physical, but where I ended up going with it was because I was still uncomfortable with abstraction and I felt like I wanted an observer to be able to step inside the painting and not be afraid of it. I was working with just color, and these colors came from something specific from my life. So if I was trying to tell the story about interacting with some of my studio mates, I would remember Jocelyn's bright red sandals and Luke's like crazy tie-dye shirt and somebody's like the rims of somebody's glasses, and I would take all of these bits and pieces of color and sort of put them maybe percentage-wise of how much I remembered from that person or that interaction, and then I would make an abstract painting about it, and underneath the painting I would sort of title it with either a few sentences or maybe a little poem of what the abstraction was about, so that on first glance you're like, what's all this crazy color? But then you can sort of read about, it's kind of like a caption. I think I grew up with Polaroids. My grandfather was always like shooting Polaroid film, and whenever we took a picture we would write like the day or who the picture was of and little right underneath in mechanical pencil. And I think that sort of like seeping into my work, and I always like to caption underneath my paintings, and lots of my paintings also have like a white border around them too, so I think that just kind of
translated
from
I really like those words at the bottom too, and how it's just like in your handwriting. For our listeners, you're not just capturing a memory like as in I remember my Aunt Joan's wedding. It's like I remember like a conversation I had with somebody, or right, like this.
It's not just something that you can see necessarily, like
it's an experience.
Yeah, it's an experience. Yeah, that's what it seems like.
Yeah. I think painting in general, I'm doing it because I want to be able to hold on to certain moments in time, but also it's like an exercise in staying present.
Yeah.
So while I'm like in this mad race to preserve moments from the past, like, I don't know, my grandmother's house where I grew up, or memories of a travel that I took, it's also because I need to recall these colors and really make sure that I've taken note of them. It's just like a way to stay awake.
So what are the sorts of things that you're doing to remember a moment or an experience before you paint it?
I carry a sketchbook with me everywhere. I've got around 60 or so now, I think. I've been just like kind of going through them since I was 17 or so. And I always have a sketchbook with me in my backpack, and that's like the quickest way for me to record. And it might be a snippet of a conversation that I hear out at a cafe, or if I'm wandering around, I don't know, a new place, like someplace in Europe that I've never been, and I'm having a great day, I might keep a receipt from like going to the bar, or if I find something in a book. Like, I love going through old bookstores and sort of flipping through the pages and seeing if I can find old bookmarks and things like this. So I'm just constantly collecting these little scraps, and each of these objects is like a memory holder. So it's sort of a way to trigger the thought and then allow me to go back to this moment in time. And so it's kind of, the sketchbooks are a quick way of getting the idea down, preserving. And then when I bring these moments back into the studio, I have a little meditation moment to myself and time travel back to that place, and then certain colors really start to seep to the surface of my mind, and that's what I use to retell the story. Because there's a thing called synesthesia where your senses sort of overlap, so when you smell something it might trigger a feeling, or when I hear music I can kind of categorize songs with different colors. So I really like to make playlists based on colors and place. And same thing with people. When I interact with people, colors come to mind. So that's kind of the way that I categorize, and that's the way that I end up retelling these stories in an abstract way.
In a way, yeah, like memories themselves are abstract. Like when you're trying to go back and remember things, you may only remember certain elements of it. So to be able to upfront capture just a little piece that helps you then remember and prompts you in a way. I know for me, I take pictures to remember things, but I've been doing this project for the last over a year where I take a second of video every day, and I find that I can go back and look at that video and remember many things that happened that day, and that was only a second that I captured. So for you, like, can you look back at paintings that you've done, kind of like how you can look at these objects that you've collected, but looking back at these paintings that you've done from years ago and remember memories exactly with that?
Yeah, some like really treasured pieces are ones like I mentioned my grandmother's house, and that's where I spent a lot of my childhood. And it was just sort of this like interesting contrast because she was this like old, crumbly, wrinkly lady smoking cigarettes all day long. And this little sprout ready to entertain myself. So I have a lot of memories. Those are the earliest memories I can recall. And towards the end of her life, I was painting like ravenously at her house to try and collect the colors of her wall and the furniture. And so I have some pieces on scraps of paper from her house. She always had like little pieces of paper she would take notes on when someone would call her on the phone and stuff, you know, that's how they did it. And then I can remember actually painting that painting like across from her sitting on the couch. So it's, I have these paintings that are documentations of a moment. They tell a story about a place, but they also are memories of me like painting the painting. Like I remember where I was while I was working on it. So it's kind of multi-layered like
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Can we talk a little bit about, so you use in these abstract paintings, basically you use color and shape, right? Mm-hmm. In your way to express the memory. So we've talked a bit about color already, although we want to get a little bit further into it. But how about shape? Sometimes in some of them, it almost looks like a map or like roads. Or are you able to articulate how you're using shape to convey the memory?
Sure. It's always changing. Color is sort of like the dominant factor in what I'm creating. But I have a series of works that I call memory maps. And they're a little bit more straightforward as far as symbols go with the memory maps because I've been doing it secondhand a lot now because I don't really want to give so many of my memories away because I feel like I'm erasing part of me. So I've been sort of interviewing other people, or I have clients come to me for commissions of me trying to retell their memories.
Wow.
So I'll get a paragraph or a blurb maybe of a travel someone took, or like someone falling in love for the first time, and they'll talk about a first date of walking down a street and spending a time in a bar, and then there might be a river across the way, and they might have gone to a museum later, and there was this one painting that they stood in front of for a while. So I have all these little like placeholders that will walk me through the story, and the shapes emerge from the symbols that I want to reference so that a person could, I just like when people can say like, oh, nice painting, cool colors. And then someone on top of that can be like, oh yeah, let me tell you all the secret little symbols in here.
Yeah.
And actually like hold a story. And yeah.
I love that. And it's funny because I had a question that I wrote down was like, do people ever ask you to paint their memories? And I almost was not going to ask you. So I thought like, is that even possible? And I, that is the coolest thing ever.
Yeah.
I want you to paint my memories.
Yeah. Same.
I love that. No, it's really nice because it feels, I'm sort of in a place with painting where it feels like you're just making all this extra stuff sometimes and keeping your fingers crossed that people want it. And it's just nice that my art can also just be a service instead of just something extra and decorative, which, whatever, that's a whole other conversation. But I'm happy that it can be a purpose. It can serve a purpose for other people.
Yeah.
Did you, like, going into this, I mean, in school, you had to have, like, you mentioned that your parents were like, you gotta make money from this in a way. Like, did you ever imagine it being what it is today?
Sure. There were some definite dark times. Like, it was a struggle. I'm the oldest of my family, and my parents, we grew up in a small town. There are no real examples of artists making a living. But I never stopped thinking that it was possible. Like, I never had any backup plan. My mom was constantly like, there's substitute teacher roles, like positions open back at your high school and all, like all this, but I just was not trying to go back to my hometown. I love it, but I just felt like I needed to continue to grow. And moving to New York City definitely was a catalyst. It's just so dense here, and there are lots of happy accidents and meeting people and just being, just like feeling the natural pull puts you in the right place at the right time. And I think that that's just how it went down for me. So I was pretty lucky, and I'm just still trying to work real hard. Yeah. And stay positive, because it can be spooky when you're working for yourself and you have to be your own boss, and there are lots of distractions out here, but
yeah,
it's just important to maintain the balance.
For you personally, like, what does success look like? Is it a point that you reach, or is it the process that you're in? Like, to you, what is success in the art world?
That is a question that I throw back and forth in my head all the time. There are many different types of success, especially out here in the city, where you can get like big time gallery representation, strive to be in the museums, or like you're making a crap ton of money, like doing sort of more designy commercial work. And sometimes I want all of those things, and sometimes they conflict, but really, and it might be corny, but I really just want to make as much, like spread as much color as I can to as many people as I can. And sometimes it feels like I'm going against, like, I need to, like, sort of control the supply and demand, because I would like to have more money in the bank, but I also just want to spread the good love and spread the color and be able to have these beautiful point A to point B interactions. And that means, like, maybe not working with the gallery, because then I don't know where my paintings are going to, and I would love to see who's leaving this and be able to tell the story behind it to the actual person who's purchasing it. So, yeah, I don't know. I'm still figuring out what success is. It's always changing.
Yeah.
It also is great that your memories happen to be images that people enjoy looking at, too. Yeah. I certainly love them. Yeah. I would love to have one.
The ones that I put out, I'm usually trying to put out the positive memes, and then the like sad girl memes, I'll just keep in a book.
Those are like a totally different palette.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
How can somebody buy one?
You can just hit me up on the email, but on my website there's a page of purchase, and there's a bunch of drop downs, and that's where all the galleries that I work with. The one that I work with for the most part is called Uprise Art, and their office is on Canal Street, but they kill it. They're just like super down to earth, always trying to advocate for the artist, always checking back in with us to make sure like what our goals are and how we can make sure that goes down. But yeah, I've worked with lots of wonderful people. And there's just a list of galleries online that where you can find my stuff. And just get, I guess, get emails also for memory map commissions.
Cool.
Yeah.
On the landing page on your website, there's a photo of a film camera right there. Is that more of a hobby for you? Does that play into the process at all with your paintings? Or, yeah, do you shoot?
Is it
often?
A tool remembering things?
I really do. I love like the old film cameras. I had a Pentax. I think that's what you saw in the photo on my homepage at the website. Just like the weight of it and how physical it is, and then being able to have time in between getting things developed. It's such a beautiful surprise when you forget about a roll of film, and then once it gets developed, and you're like, oh man, I like completely forgot about that moment. That's why I love to shoot with film. I don't really do digital unless I'm having to document my work.
Yeah.
But I just got a Contax T2 for Christmas. Very, very fancy. And
just like Kendall Jenner.
Yeah, Kendall. I no idea that this was a thing. And I was just like, I'd love a point and shoot for Christmas. And then Brian, my boyfriend, surprised me with like the cool one that Kendall has. So I start pulling it out. I pull it up at the bar, and everyone's like, oh, do you know what this is? Like, do you understand? Like,
Do you find that it plays into your process at all? Like, do you capture sometimes the same memories that you would like sketch or in notes, like also with your camera, or is it usually, are you trying to capture different things?
No, it's definitely, it's helping me remember like why I started painting, because I think it's getting me excited to walk out in the streets and keep my eyes open, especially in New York City, where like, because I've been here for so long, it sort of becomes routine and you're just like trying to get from one place to the other. But having the camera in my backpack, I'm like, yeah, slow it down, check out this guy riding his bike. Mm-hmm. Like, just, it's helping me stay present again. And also it's like, now that I, like, we have the phones and the camera phones make it so easy to take a snap and not really understand why you're taking that picture. You take a picture, you put it away, you forget about it, kind of. And so now that I have my film camera, there's more weight on the subject, and it definitely parallels to the memories and the moments that I want to recreate with painting. So they go way more hand in hand, and it's helping me not use my cell phone as much to take pictures, because that seems to water things down.
Yeah. And in a way, you're saying that you're like being more intentional about what it is that you're choosing to remember or choosing to capture. And is that how you find yourself when you're sketching for future paintings or capturing notes for future paintings? Kind of that same sort of way of like, are you like being intentional about it, I guess?
With the film camera, it works the same way as me writing down things in my sketchbook, and it sort of forces me to use my mind a little bit more. Like when I write, I'm using a lot of metaphors and comparing certain points in time to other travels I've experienced, and yeah, the camera just helps me. I'm taking more like deliberate photos with it, and I keep comparing it to the phone just because I'm like getting bummed on myself for throwing up Instagram stories or like taking many pictures of the same thing and then sort of forgetting about it. And I feel like it's like weakening my mind a bit.
Well, yeah, it's like you're making lasting memories doing all of the things that you're doing. And, you know, we've talked to a lot of guests about Instagram and, you know, how that plays a role and as an artist, because it does give a way to share your work in a convenient way, you know? And so you're also your boss, your promoter, your everything. So you're kind of tangled up in that, but it's good for people to see it.
Yeah. I go back and forth with it. Like I hate it because it's such a time sucker, and sometimes I feel super corny about the self-promotion, but I've had lots of real-life friends come from it, or I'll be out traveling. Like, there was a random time where I was on a road trip in Joshua Tree. There were no campsites left for some reason, and then some lady on Instagram was like, hey, I got an Airbnb out here if you need a place to crash. And we were like, thanks. So yeah, and she was a sweetie. And then we became friends. And when she was in New York, we chilled after that. So there's the good and the bad.
Yeah.
Well, it's been really great talking to you. This is such a cool like twist on, we like to just talk to creative people in general too, but it's pretty cool the way you are personalizing your memories like that in a way, like I said in the beginning, like a lot of us or our listeners might do with a camera. So let's just, now that we're talking about self-promotion, your website is kristentexera.com, right?
Yeah.
And same for Instagram, Kristen Texera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just playing it simple.
Plain and simple. Cool. Do you have any, are you working on any commissions currently, or what kind of stuff are you doing right now? Or any
what can we look out for? What can others look out for?
Okay, out for in the world. I'm just thinking about, I'm like part-time living in the woods right now. So I'm messing around with some weird, like I'm making strange sculptures and just playing with forms and just trying to, I'm just trying to make myself a little bit uncomfortable. But as far as gallery shows coming up, I've got something in Portland, Oregon in April at this gallery called Stephanie Chef-S. I'll send you the info after this.
Okay.
And then I'm having a show in a little show in Japan. And then in the summertime, I'll be showing with Uprise Art, but that's a TBD location.
Nice.
And yeah, that's about it out in the world.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for sharing about your process and everything. And we look forward to seeing all of the other memories that you capture.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thank you.
It is a great satisfaction to be able to speak to you through the medium of this wonderful invention.